First Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. But the nature of man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15 too. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged, is rightly judged by no one. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Verse 16 in the paraphrased version called the Living Bible is translated, but we have the thoughts of Jesus Christ. We have the thoughts of Jesus Christ. We have the mind of Christ. The Bible divides the people of this planet Earth into two kinds of mind. The natural mind and the spiritual mind. We can be born in the spirit with a new spirit, but an old age. That is why the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2 to have our minds renewed. It doesn't mean that when we were born again, we receive a new mind, a new head. So that when you give the altar call, the people come forward, and when they pray the prayer to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you go back to their seat, each one of them with a different head. It doesn't happen. Every one of us have the same mind that we have to deal with, the old mind, which was the mind acquainted with the things of this life and this world. There are two kinds of mind that the Bible talks about, as well as two kinds of knowledge. And the natural mind, which deals only with natural knowledge, natural principles, and the spiritual mind, which deals with revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge will never be understood by the natural mind. The natural mind cannot conceive of the things of the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us, because they are foolishness unto him. What is revelation knowledge? Revelation knowledge is the impartation by God of his knowledge through his Holy Spirit inside our spirit man, revealed unto us. Nothing in this life just happens. There is a cause and effect for every action in this world. Whatever problems you may have in your life, whatever habits you may have to overcome, the problem has a source. There is a cause behind those problems. And if you know the cause of the problems, you have half the problem solved. It is when you do not know the cause, that is when it is very difficult. Even when you go and see a doctor, usually a doctor is very experienced in diagnosis. For example, if you complain of headaches or coughing symptoms, then they will have their memory knowing what sicknesses will cause that. So automatically they rule out maybe about 500 kinds of sicknesses, so lack about 20 more. You see, the doctors go by diagnosis. Sometimes they hit it right on the spot, sometimes they miss. We pray for you when they miss. We pray that they don't miss. Anyway, they sometimes do, in humans. And so sometimes they miss. I mean, I was talking to one brother many years back, and he went to the doctor, and one doctor he went, and the doctor did all kinds of experiments on him. And after spending several thousand dollars, the doctor said, "Well, there's nothing more." The person said, "Why do you tell me this in the first place? After you check my head, check my heart, check my kidney, check my liver, every part of me, my backbone, every part of me." And then he said, "There's nothing wrong, you don't know what is the cause." My own father, who is now in heaven, had a very slight cough, very slight. But it persisted for some time, and he kept coughing and coughing and coughing. So he went to one clinic.
And then the clinic gave him some medicine. He tried for 2 weeks. He didn't know. He went to the next clinic. He tried for the next 2 weeks. He didn't know. He went to the next one. And so he developed a new hobby, visiting clinic. I can say that now because it's heaven anyway. So I think he looked down on me now, maybe. But he visited all the different clinics in the end. He visited all the different, and he's showing him different kind of medicine. You see what the doctors are doing? They are diagnosing, and so they have a certain list of cause and effect. How do doctors treat you because of cause and effect? They look at the symptoms and they try to analyze the source. That is how they try to prescribe the medicine to treat the source. And usually they treat the symptoms when they cannot locate the source. So what happened was my father went from one to the other, one to the other, one to the other, one to the other. And I don't know how many doctors he went. Finally, I had a phone call that came out and said, my father is in serious problems. So what happened? And he said that the skin on his hair began to change color. His hair began to drop. He began to have all kinds of problems. And that was the second time they rang me the emergency call. So far in the ministry, I always do emergency calls for my family. Anybody heard of emergency calls? Two. One was when in the seminary, my father had a heart attack and they phoned me. So I asked the Lord. The Lord said, he will leave, don't worry. So I sent back and said, he will leave, I don't have to go down. And so he leaves. But I mean, it was last year. And so the second emergency call, I say, come back quickly. You know the telegrams, how they are always that way. But praise God for the Holy Spirit that many times they inform you of things to come. And so I prayed about it, and the Lord said, I've given several years, developed faith, and now he has come to this point, and he needs a faith level, and he doesn't have it. And so the Lord began to, I began to plead the case with the Lord, and the Lord began to plead the case with me. And the Lord said, all the children are grown, all are married, and if you come out here with me now, he will grow spiritually faster than he is down there. And I've given him this number of years, etc., because I was wanting to pray for his complete recovery. And so the Lord was pleading the case too, as I came before the Lord. You can only do things like that when you can hear the Lord. And so I was talking to the Lord, so I said, thanks, Lord, all right, allow me to go back, and I understand your instructions. So I phoned back and I said, I'm preparing to come. Some of them were down there, and I said to them all that they were Pentecostals too, and so they were thinking of raising him from the bay. And so they were praying, everyone was praying for recovery. So then I came to the answer and said, no, the Lord said he'd go home. So get prepared. And so they all prepared and went home. So what happened in my father's case was a wrong diagnosis in the end. In the end, the doctors found out that he was allergic to certain kind of medicine and drug that they had given him. So I saw it proof from my whole family that sometimes they're getting. Now if you're a doctor here, God bless you. Praise the Lord. And my friends too. And so you're fighting the same devil, okay? You're just fighting the same devil. But I just want to use that as an analogy, an allegory, and a comparison and illustration of how in the spiritual realm there are cause and effects too. There's a cause for someone receiving healing. There are cause and effects to take on the anointing of God and the power of God. Things don't just happen. And if you have a problem in your life, you have to take the word of God that way seriously. Don't take it like what you call, excuse me for using this colloquial phrase, like, you know, the small boy who used to go and buy those ancient things and say, become, become. And sometimes they become, they got it. Sometimes they become, they don't got it. Don't take the word of God that way. The word of God that talks about cause and effect. There are certain things that cause certain effects. Now, there are spiritual laws that cause certain effects on this natural world. So if you have a problem in your life, and you've been fighting and praying with the word of God in your life for that long, whether it be a habit, whether it be a sin in your life you're trying to overcome, or any area in your life, or receiving a healing, any area of your life, there are causes and effects. You must go right to the source of it. Right to the source.
if you can locate the source of your problem, sometimes it can be a very deep source. You have half the problem solved. You have half the problem solved. It took me about 10 years for me to have my eyesight restored to the level where I could drive, where I could see normally. I mean, when I first took off my glasses, I could hardly see the bus number that is that big, you know, big and huge. All my eyes combined together was about 1,000 degrees. Now that would be a lot, right? When I took off my glasses, I was as blind as a bat. I'm worse than a bat because I don't have a radar sensor. At least a bat has that. It took me 10 years and the Lord began to show me how my eyes became that way. All the root of it and every one of them was removed one by one. But it took time for some of those things. Because some of those are tied to the habits in my life. Some of them are tied to certain thoughts that are allowed in my life. The Lord has to deal with them and pull down all the strongholds. Then I can begin to see the power of God take effect on my eyes. The same way in any area of our life, there's a cause and effect. Locate the cause of it. Then you have the problem solved. We are speaking about the renewal of the mind. Natural knowledge is very hard to come by. Natural knowledge is very hard to come by. Some of us took about 5 years. Some of us took about 15 years of education to train ourselves in the natural to be skillful in a job. And to be a doctor, it takes a long time to train to be a doctor. Natural knowledge is hard to come by. It takes time to possess it, to learn it, to grasp it. Physical knowledge takes an instant impartation. It just imparted unto you, born inside your spirit. It takes someone about 5 years, if you're very good at it, to learn the piano and to get all the grades up to grade 7. It takes a long time if you're fast, that is. You can skip several grades. But it takes time and practicing constantly coordination of your hands and your mind and your eyes, etc. to master the skill in music. But when the elderly man particularly went to heaven, in heaven he saw huge musical instruments, huge ones, harps. He didn't mention guitar, probably there are too. And all kinds of organs, the musical instruments, the heavenly kind. How many of you all know that heaven is music? Alright, it's good. Don't think that in heaven all you do is just sit around. Sit around, doing nothing. And he saw all this huge music and all the angels playing beautifully. And he walked close to one of the angels and said, I like it. Praise the Lord that the angel did not say, I'm sorry, you have to take about 10 grades. It takes about 10 years in heaven to master this. No, he didn't say that. The angel said, welcome, go ahead. The moment he sat down on that piece of organ, heavenly side, more keys are key. And when he sat on that, instinctively, excuse my English, instinctively he knew by intuition how to play. In a few seconds, if there are seconds in heaven and any measurement of time, he could play. That's what we call revelation knowledge. It comes unto you that way by impartation. From the problems that have taken many years to solve, if they were turned to the Lord in prayer, in just one moment the Lord can give you the solution. It pays to pray. Because revelation knowledge comes in answer to prayer. Prayer is not a waste of time. Prayer seeks revelation knowledge to solve our problems and our situations. You try in the natural to solve some problems, it might take you 15 years and you have just touched the brink of that problem. But if you spend those 15 years in prayer, perhaps in your first year, revelation knowledge comes, you have got a problem solved. The only problem is that people do not pray long enough to receive revelation knowledge. They do not spend that kind of quality time to receive revelation knowledge. God has never withheld from any man or woman who seeks His face with all their heart, mind and soul for the answer to the problem and not given an answer. At least He will give you the answer. At least He will give you the method for the solution. The solution may take some time, but He will give you the method in your prayer life. It's never a waste of time to spend our time in quality prayer with God. So in God there are these two areas that the Bible reveals: the natural mind and the spiritual mind. The spiritual mind receives things by intuition. We have lost that, and I want to talk about how we lost that. How we lost that revelation knowledge, so that we know how it can be restored back unto us. Human beings were never made to function like we are functioning today. The most helpless mammal in the animal kingdom is a human being, because it's born with very few instincts. Very few instincts. Whereas a normal creature in the world, the animal instinct, a bird doesn't have to learn to fly. When it reaches the time to fly, it flies. I haven't gone to see any, what do they call those fellows? Ornithologists. You know what it is? A person that studies birds. What an interesting occupation, right? Anyway. When you go and look into all these areas, and you see all these ornithologies, excuse me for using such big words, and all these areas, you have never yet found a school for birds to teach birds how to fly. You can go to all the jungles, you can go to all the places, everywhere. There is no place where the birds have a training school to fly. Never. If you do have, please let me know. You might be on a wrong planet. No school for birds. Why? When you reach an age, you know how to fly. Man is the only creature with a spirit, different from all the animals. Animals have only bodies and souls. Soul is the intelligence. And my definition of spirit, soul and body is this, to explain it easier. Your body is just a beautiful, wonderful piece of machinery. If your spirit leaves your body drops down dead, just like that. Your body is a house that can move, can talk, with muscles, bones, etc. Beautiful piece of machinery that your spirit man can live in and move to that house. Your soul is a wonderful piece of computer, more marvelous than any that man has ever made. It stores information. It will act according to the information implanted in. It will act according to the input. What comes out will be what you put in. Through all those years we have been putting in the wrong kind of knowledge. So our mind needs renewal. But when our mind begins to be renewed to the new kind of knowledge, then we can function in that way. So as we define that, man is created a spirit man above all the animal creatures. You read the Bible, I study the Bible on animals. In the Bible, it's very interesting to study animals. In heaven, we were perfect animals in heaven. Perfect animals. Perfect animals. Praise God. I don't think I'm going to bed. Anyway, don't know if you distract too much. And so, animals will be in heaven, but they are not brought there, excuse me. If you ever have a pet dog, and you go over there, and see a pet dog exactly like your dog, it was not that your dog got born again and got there. Please. Animals don't get paid at all. When they die, they just die.
But God can create another replica, perfect one, like that one that you had, possibly. Alright? So, there are all kinds of animals, all kinds of fruit trees there, etc. You might not have durian. Those durian lovers, better eat all you can down here. Because your durian will be very different up there. Your durians don't have thorns, and your durians up there won't have the smell. I think I heard Danny say praise the Lord. You won't have the smell, you won't have the thorns, because all the thorns came from Genesis 3 when man fell. Oh, hallelujah. You can imagine the first time you had to pluck a rose for Eve. Oh, Eve gave the rose. And the rose had no thorns. Isn't that lovely? But when Adam and Eve fell, the rose had thorns. That's how we get all these kind of things on this earth today. Animals and all that, when they die, they die. But when man, as far as man is concerned, he has a spirit. The Bible tells us very carefully in my research on animals in the Bible, you will find that it tells us the souls of the animals die. This is in the book of Genesis. Animals have souls, don't be shocked by that. The soul is just the intelligence that the animal has. So the animal, the chimpanzees, all that has some intelligence, but they have no spirit. So nobody tells them. You didn't came from the egg. You came from God. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Anybody who believes Charles Darwin, have you taken a closer look at him lately? Those who believe in evolution and they came from the ape should have in their living room a lovely picture decorated with gold all around, silver background of a chimpanzee leg. And when somebody comes to your house, they say, who is that? Oh, that is a very long story. That was my great. So man was created with a spirit, and that spirit lives in this body. And when we were born again, our spirit was made new. And that spirit now wants to communicate through our soul. Our soul needs a perfection for it to flow through. Once upon a time, Adam and Eve moved only by revelation knowledge. They don't have to learn to do anything. They need what to do by a spiritual instinct. They knew how to please God. They knew God's voice. They didn't have to go through 66 lessons by Kenneth Hagin to hear the Holy Spirit. Kenneth Hagin was not around yet. And anyway, the first man's name was Adam, not Hagin. They knew to do everything perfectly. In Genesis chapter 1, if you have your Bible system, we need to Genesis. We will read in Genesis for some time. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Anybody from Genesis yet? Chapter 1. It should be on page 1. Alright, not in that one. Alright. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis. When God made Adam and Eve. Verse 26. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let me make man in our image, God said. we have in Genesis the solution to the age-old problem. If you have ever heard the age-old problem, when in school they used to argue, they used to discuss, did the chicken come first or the egg? What a fair argument. Did the chicken come first or the egg? And we didn't know the answer. The answer is in Genesis 1, the chicken came first. Say praise God. Thank God for chicken. Right. The chicken came first. Because God made the chicken first. And then the chicken laid their egg. Hallelujah. We read in Genesis 1, God made man, every creature, everything was made perfect in their perfect stage. And then in Genesis 2, God, Genesis 2, verse 19, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. You do not know what, how significant that word is. Believe there are over 3,000 kinds of insects, several thousand species of animals, several thousand species of birds. He looked at it. One day they brought a very familiar looking creature that came to Adam, and that creature said, "Ooh." And Adam, in whatever language they were using, said, "Cow." Wasn't he smart? He was smart. He brought every creature, and he knew every creature by its name. He called its name. Today, to do that, you might need to study a lifetime. You might need to take a course on ornithology, on botany, on biology, and on all kinds of the ology. And you study all the ology, something you call, oh! And you will still never be able to name all the animals. And all the insects. And all the creatures that creep, that move, that fly. By Adam, by instinct. The kind of knowledge that was instinctive in you. Every one of them. That was the kind of mind he had. The wisest man in the Bible was Jesus. The second wisest man was Adam. And Solomon ranked third. To correct the theology, if you'll be saying that Solomon was the wisest, no. Jesus was the wisest, Adam was the second, before he fell, that is, he was a wise person. In Luke 3, in the genealogy, he is called the Son of God. Adam, the Son of God. And Solomon was for me the third wisest man in the Bible. You study the Bible carefully. Adam had a special intelligence. Where did he come from? Remember, he had only been a couple of days old. Adam was a few days old. He had not been on the earth 1,000 years or so. He was just very, very young considerably, but he got age at that time. They were perfect. Everything was perfect. His mind was perfect. Something happened in Genesis 3. Genesis 3. God had told Adam and Eve not to eat of that fruit. Now the background of it is in Genesis 2:17. Chapter 2:17 first. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. In the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. The Hebrew word for that is that in the day you eat of this fruit, dying, you shall die.
Anybody who has been familiar with the account in the book of Genesis 3 knows that Adam and Eve ate of that fruit. When they ate of the fruit, they didn't die physically yet. Adam in fact went on to live for another 930 years. And then he died physically. So what God was saying, that in the day you eat it, you will die spiritually. And when you die spiritually, you will die physically. That takes care of spirit, that takes care of soul. What happened to the mind, to the body? What happened to the soul or the mind? Here's what happened. When the spirit man of Adam was cut off from God, something happened to the intelligent supermind. Something happened in his mind. There was a blockage that came into his mind. Today you have people who study the mind, divide the mind into two sections. The subconscious mind and the conscious mind. Your conscious mind is only about 10% of your whole mind power. And people have tried to tap on soul power, they didn't know spirit power is more powerful. So there is a subconscious mind and a conscious mind. How did that come about? Giving you the solution and the answer today in the Word of God. Adam had no subconscious mind. His whole mind was 100% utilized. But when his spirit died, something happened to the mind. Part of it was darkened. And when that happened, he lost some of that instinctive knowing what to do or certain things. I'll prove it to you from the Bible. You turn with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Everything that you hear will be proven by the Bible. If it's not proven in the Bible, you do not have to accept it. Every doctrine, every revelation, no matter you receive it from Jesus by vision or not, has to be substantiated by the living word, the written word, which is the living word. Ephesians chapter 4. That is in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk in the as the rest of the Gentiles who walk, in the futility of the, what's the word? Mind. We're talking about the renewal of the mind. So we want to start on how the mind got into the stage involved today, and it is today. And verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. There you have it. When the life of God was cut off from Adam, his mind became darkened. And through all those generations of sin, passing on from generation to generation, from Adam who first sinned up to today, the mind of man has been in that stage. And every natural scientist will tell you, even the genius function and not more than between 5 to 10% of the mental capacity. A lot of us has never lived on this planet Earth because of sin. So that is when the subconscious mind came in. And human beings, you might hear a lot of teaching today on mind power, mind control. What is the fellow's name? Silva, is it? Silva mind control. Watch out for Silva mind control. He controls your mind, you know. And they try to take on mind power, mental telepathy, EST,
they use all these fantastic words. And they use the word as studied long ago before I was born again. What they call it?
Hyper-cybernetics
and self-hypnosis, everything, etc. And all these things have to do with mind power. You know what they're trying to do? They are trying to tap on the other part of their mind so that they can achieve more in this world. They're trying to tap on the latent power of the soul. That's what they're trying to do. So to a certain extent, they manage to use a little bit more, maybe 0.00000 thousands of zeros percent of that, a little bit more. But nothing can compare to the power of the Holy Spirit, who will do something to your mind if you will let Him. His book of Ephesians gives you the solution. It's a book that covers on your renewal of the mind. Now, Paul is the one who tells us the condition of our mind. When we were Gentiles, the word Gentile means heathen in a sense. Heathen, when we didn't know God, our minds are corrupt. Here is why with a corrupt mind, with a carnal mind, with a natural mind, we can never know the things of God, the spiritual things. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 2, the devil controls you when you try to use mind power. There I have it. Don't go to all this mind control, silver, or whatever name it is. Even if you put the name Jesus there and say, Jesus mind control, don't go to it. Not everything that calls itself by the name of Jesus is Jesus. Because the Bible talks about Holy Spirit power that glorifies Jesus' name, not the soul. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. Now, verse 1 talks about spiritual death, because they were all physically alive before they accepted Christ. But you were spiritually dead in sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. Once upon a time we were like the world, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the, what's the word there? Mind, you see? The mind of man is corrupted. In the book of Genesis 6, before God sent the flood and told Noah the flood would come, the Bible says in Genesis 6, God saw that the thoughts and the imaginations of men were continually wicked. He has an evil plan. You know, there is a very thin line between craftiness and genius, between a crook and a genius. A crook is a genius who used his genius for the wrong thing. Very crafty. Smart, intelligent, but they use it in the wrong way. That was the way men walk. We all walk in that unrenewed mind, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Every problem in your physical life came from a problem in your soul life. Every problem in your soul life is in the area of your mind life, in your thought life, in a thought pattern. The strongholds are there that need to be broken down by the word of the living God. There is a world of a difference between mind power and spirit power. Mind power says, I can do all things. Look at the mirror and say, hey, thou wonderful man, you are doing all things. You're going to be a success. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. And you're going to be achiever, etc. They look at the mirror and tell themselves that. Self and notice. But the Bible never asked you to do that. He didn't say you can do all things. He said you can do all things. Everybody? Through Christ! Everybody said that. Through Christ! That's the difference. That's the difference. Through Christ. And here's why. If I'm a master crook, which I'm not, just to clear your job. Anyway, if I'm a master crook, I attain a fewer mind control or some other mind control, and then I practice it. You are a successful robber. You can rob all banks. All locks are not impossible, are possible to you. You can unlock all things. Something is wrong somewhere. That's what happened. Mind control by itself has no ruler to guide you. In everything in life, you have to have a measurement. You have to have a code of right and wrong. Even the length of a meter has to be preserved somewhere, in France or Europe somewhere. But today they use the wavelength of a certain line, so that everyone know what is the standard 1/12-inch rule. How long is 1 meter? One factory comes up 1 meter like that, the other factory a little bit more. Have you checked most rulers that are made? You know, some rulers are not the same length, but all reach 1 feet. So they have to have a standard, international standard. What is the right inch and what is the wrong inch? They have to have a standard. In the spiritual world, in the social world, there is a standard. That is why the law of evolution has no moral code. If I believe that man, that's why evolutionism and communism will never work, because it will never be able to govern a society without moral code. If I believe that you are just a creature who dies and becomes non-existent, I can shoot you and my conscience don't trouble me because you are just dead. But because I believe every creature has a spirit, man lives eternally, whether in heaven or in hell, because I believe that, and there's a God who will judge my actions, then you can produce good people. You will never be able to produce good people with communism or evolution. The only way you can produce good people is people who have the fear of God. When you remove the fear of God from people's lives, you produce tyrants, dictators, who don't mind killing thousands of people. So it doesn't work. The truth will always be for the good of the whole, of all the human race. And God is love, He loves the world. His word is His rule and His truth. So mind power doesn't work, because it breaks other laws that will cancel it off.
When we have to renew our mind, we have to say the right word, we have to believe the right thing
in the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with confession. It's depending on what you base the confession on. If it's based on the Word, yes, it's a Bible confession. Nothing wrong with positive confession if the positiveness is based on the Word, which is positive anyway about your life.
But you don't just do what I think, I can do all things.
You say, I can do all things through Christ. The foundation of my being able to do all things is Jesus who lives in me, not my own power of my soul. There's a world of a difference, you'll find that out. So Paul is telling us about this mind that needs to be renewed. His mind that is carnal, that is shut up, that is darkened. Where shall we get in hell? Ephesians 1 verse 17 and 18. The same book that talks about how our minds are darkened tells you how your mind can be enlightened. Verse 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eye of your, what's that part?
Understanding.
Everybody understanding.
Understanding.
Being enlightened. If I understand the English word correctly, to be enlightened is the opposite of to be darkened. Ephesians 4 says, when the life of God is cut off from you, as Gentiles, the mind was darkened. Here it tells you that the mind is enlightened. Enlightened. That is the light that can come from God. That's a revelation that can come to God, come from God to you, to be a solution in your life. Some men of God say, and I believe it is a good thing, every problem you have had is a light of revelation. Think about it.
He has a revelation.
The problem is solved.
All we need is the light. Not the physical light necessarily, but the spiritual light that will enlighten our mind. He's not talking about the spirit area, he's talking about your understanding area being enlightened. Your understanding being enlightened. When your understanding begins to be enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will know some things that it takes 10 years for some people to know. You will understand some things that it will take a lifetime to understand for some people. Or you are going to be masters over the devil. Masters in this world to reign in and life, not in defeat anymore, but in victory, because of the enlightenment that comes upon your mind, and you begin to see, begin to see, begin to see. That's all we need. That's all we need to have our minds enlightened. And the more you live with God, the closer you walk with God, the more He enlightens your mind. He will enlighten you in every area of life. You will have wisdom to function, to walk in every area of life. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He knew every law and how to walk with it. His mind was enlightened by God. He knew every social law. He knew every physical law. He knew how to operate it, to tap it to his, to benefit it as God has made it to be. God didn't make this world to destroy you. God made this world for us, for good. Genesis 1. And God saw that it was G-O-O-D. Pronounced good. And the devil is the one behind. Every bad thing that happens, there is a spiritual force behind it. You can take my word for that. I have Bible proof. In the book of Job chapter 1, 2 and 3, when Satan began to attack Job, Satan didn't come to Job personally. The champion came and killed his son. In a natural, you were there, you said, naturally, natural. Natural thing, after all people do their wrong, right? Now, lightning came down, destroyed some more of his property. Natural disaster. The insurance department in Job's time might put an act of God. It wasn't an act of God. Read Job chapter 1, it was the devil behind it. This world was not made to be hard to live in. This world was not made where you have to throb and suffer and be a failure and struggle. It was a good world made for us to reign in this life, to be successful. Whatever I put my hand onto will prosper, provided you walk in the revelation knowledge of God. Revelation knowledge is bold. Like Peter, when he was right there walking along the road to Jerusalem, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And all the first few answers were by natural knowledge. Some men say you are the prophet Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you are a prophet. What did they have? Natural knowledge by their mind. But Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," in Matthew chapter 16. "For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father has revealed it to you." Revelation will be you on the solid rock. Revelation in your life will make you bold like a lion. All you need to do to be bold is to be sure of that revelation. If you stand before a person who is sick, who has died for 3 days, like Lazarus, and if you stand there, if you have the word from the Lord, the revelation that says, then you will be resurrected. Will that be fear in your life? No. You will go there bold like a lion. Open the lid of the coffin. All of you will say,
Yes! The revelation gives you a boldness. The revelation gives you a conqueror. The revelation is knowledge. There's an open to you. And everybody quickly take out that many stuff. If you have watched evangelists operate, or sometimes when it's the gift of the Spirit operating, when the Spirit says something that is revelation knowledge, and that is why we try and say, right now, quickly, you find that, and you know this evangelist do that. Because if at that time, using the phrase, strike while the iron is hot, strike when the anointing is there, you are operating straight away, and there has to be a bonus that comes forth. If you operate in this kind of thing, and you come to the person, you receive a word of knowledge, you come to the person, yes, you won't be very effective for God. By the time you finish it, the word of knowledge, I mean, the anointing has left. Sometimes the people receive a word from the Lord. They have to be bold. You cannot stand up and say, you have ever heard anybody prophesy? They came to the mic, took the mic, and say, I think that the Lord says, I mean, if I was there, if I'm in charge, I'd say, hey brother, don't think, say. If you think what the Lord says, you don't want. But if you have a doubt, says the Lord, yes, we want that to hear. Check on that. Revelation knowledge, you have to be sure about that. And when you have that, it is life-changing, life-transforming. It will change you first, it will change others. There are two sources of revelation knowledge. Number one, the written word. The written word. It tells you a lot of things about the devil and your authority over him. It tells a lot of things about demons and your authority over them. It tells a lot of things about what you have in Christ and the voice of the Holy Spirit teaching you. The Spirit of truth who listens to your own truth. Two sources of revelation, the written word and the Holy Spirit of truth. He will show you the revelation. Of course, the written word needs the Holy Spirit enlightened. But you can study it with an open mind, and the revelation will arise in your heart. Anybody who ever dealt with demons and cast out demons, you will know that demons are terrible liars. Terrible liars. I mean, every time the demon comes, always say, I'm going to get you. I'm a powerful than you. I mean, there was this time when it's somebody going, that I was laughing, and I said, oh, over here, they laugh at this demon. If you know how I am, I mean, I just pretend like, oh, good, this thing. Well, I just laugh at him. And the demon spoke to this voice, and then Jesus put his tongue. The person was not possessed, the demon was then using the voice.
You laugh at me! I'm Lucifer!
I'm going to say, most people, when they hear that the demon is a right-hand man of Lucifer, they say, excuse me. I'm just passing by.
Passing by, indeed. This time, shall follow those who believe.
They are not care about that. And so, when the demon tries to manifest again, I don't give a chance to that. So read about the anointing of God, because the Holy Spirit told me exactly what to do. So I read it, let the anointing come on my hand. While I was bringing the anointing came, the same being the so-called right-hand man of Jesus.
Oh, my father, down to you. Don't send me out.
You know he's lying. Because I confronted certain demons, those who are really the warrior demons, they don't behave that way. They never. They are quite rash. They are not that way. These are lying demons. They are very powerless in the name of Jesus. So take note of that. Revelation knowledge enables you to stand before devils, to stand before demons, to stand before men, and when the whole world is against you, but if you have one revelation knowledge and you hold on to that, after 5 years, 10 years, the whole world comes away, you'll be the only one to stand there when the dust has settled. I stood my ground on revelation knowledge. Even if the whole world goes against me, but God says something, that's it. Because if God is there in him, you stand in him. That is the rock you build your life. See, revelation knowledge builds you on the rock that will never be shaken. Revelation knowledge comes when the Spirit of God opens and lights in your heart. Pray that prayer in your life every day. My wife Amy was in a seminary, and for many years I tried to talk to her about the baptism in the Spirit. And you know how difficult it is sometimes. The Baptist, the Baptist, semi Baptist here, former Baptist. Alright. And especially theologians, the seminary students, the theologians who practice mental gymnastics. And you try to convince them, it's so difficult. In the end, I pray this prayer. I say, Lord, he just opened their eyes, the demon sees. One day, he just saw. There is a revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is better than 10,000 arguments. One revelation knowledge to the person is better than 10,000 arguments. My responsibility is not to argue. My responsibility is to bring the power of God to people's lives. That's your responsibility too. Your responsibility is to bring the word of God to people. Let the Holy Spirit do the enlightening. Don't do the arguing. Let the Holy Spirit do the arguing. And when the word takes fire, that's when they receive revelation from the Lord. Get hungry for revelation, Lord. It will change your life. Revelation knowledge will make you a master over you. Jesus walked in revelation knowledge. The church is built on revelation knowledge. They prove it. You read Ephesians 2, I believe it's verse 20. That is built on apostles and prophets. And then in Ephesians 3, the first 4 or 5 verses, it says that it is revealed unto the apostles and prophets. The church is built on revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. We will return back to instinct. Spiritual instinct. Right now, some of you have begun to move in the things of the Spirit. It was like instinct, right? What led you to pray? You couldn't explain it. Sometimes there's this burden to pray. How do you explain it? You're moving by higher instinct. I call it a spiritual instinct. The call of the Holy Spirit says, pray! Why pray into your innermost man? And your innermost man responds to the cry of God. The Holy Spirit cries and you pray. Spiritual instinct. How will we all know when Jesus coming is near? The Spirit will tell your spirit, and there will be a bell that rings inside. It will be like a midnight cry that came when all the 10 virgins were sleeping. There came a loud cry. That cry will ring in your heart, in your spirit. Right now, some people sense the urgency is coming. There is always a sense in your spirit. We are returning back to the rain, where we will walk by revelation knowledge, by revelation instinct. Where you know exactly the right things to do. You know exactly the right things to talk. You know exactly the right place to be. You know exactly. It's a higher rain altogether. You operate in a higher rain. It is a realm of prayer and being in union with God. It doesn't take years to study. It just takes years. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Every knee bow and every eye closed. Holy be compassionate. My sight here Come out right now. It's amazing. Come out right now. Jesus wants to set you and heal you right now. Just come out right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right now. Right now. Right now. Come quickly. The Holy Spirit wants to work right now.